This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio FM 96.1. AM 1170.
The answer.
This segment is brought to you by Black Forest Motorsports, 8066 Engineer Road, right there in lovely San Diego. You got a BMW, Porsche, or Mini Cooper, Black Forest Motorsports can be your dealer alternative. And if you want to go racing, they can make that happen as well. Also, Southwest Point of Sale. If you're running a little grocery store or liquor store, you got to give these guys a call. 800-540-2149. You know, labor's costs are skyrocketing. Self-checkout's the way to go. Walmart, Home Depot, Costco, they all do it. Give them a call, 800-540-2149. They'll come out. If your system works with their system, you'll get a meat and produce scale. You'll get all kinds of equipment to make your business sing. Give them a call or take a look at their website at southwestpos.com. They service everything they sell 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. All right, Brittany, my dear, how
Hi.
Are you?
I'm well. How are you?
So the reason I've never been to Bonneville is sitting to the left and the right of you.
The reason? They're a good reason to go.
Well, I know, but when you spend as much as they probably spent and you wake up in the middle of the night
it's pouring down rain.
Yeah. Gosh, it's got to be heartbreaking. So who wants to cry first?
That's welcome to Bonneville. That's the way it was this year.
How often is there an average of when does it rain more than less?
It changes all the time.
Does it?
Generally, this time of year, it's dry up there. I mean, that's the reason the dates are scheduled
that's
the way they are.
That's what I would think, yeah.
Why the dates are scheduled the way they are. But this has been a crazy year for weather all over the whole country.
A lot of races
world,
have been rained out.
So, yeah.
Before we get too deep into the interview, let's give some names to our guests.
That would help.
Brad and Rick White are back. We had them back in March. And at that time, David, I asked you to guess a number, 0 to 500. And that number was 413. So let's make sure we address that as well, because it's a 20-year anniversary of a record being set. Was that at Bonneville?
That was at Bonneville. My dad set the fastest record ever to be set at Bonneville Speed Week.
Wow.
20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was basically the U.S. land speed record for a wheel-driven car.
That's awesome.
And then we went back up a couple months later, and we didn't have such a good trip.
And that seems to be part of racing. We have good weekends and not so good weekends.
Yes, and the weather can play a big factor in that.
Yes. And I know just recently at Bonneville, you were hoping to break a record?
Yes.
Or set one for yourself. Is it a personal one, right?
No, actually break a record as well. Yes.
I'm sorry to underestimate that record.
Yes.
So what is that record you were hoping?
The record is a AA blown fuel competition coupe land speed car record, and the record is 305 miles an hour. And so we're had some pretty big expectations this year.
But you're going back.
Yes.
So, this isn't the end. You'll be back in the second weekend of September.
Well, that's El Mirage. It's a dry lake bed. It's a mile and three-tenths. It's a much shorter course than the Bonneville Salt Flats.
Mm-hmm.
The course of the Bonneville Salt Flats is up to 5 miles.
Right.
So.
And that's in your Honda, correct?
Yes.
It's, if I remember, 200 by 42 by 48 inches.
That's right. That's right.
That's so pretty close.
200 or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's a replica of what year Honda?
Like a 71 Honda 600.
Can't even put one foot in that thing.
You said you used the door to get in.
Oh, yeah. I have to crawl through the door.
You still use the doors?
It's all stock doors. Stock body, stock doors.
Does anyone help you out?
No.
No? You don't even
hopefully not.
So, would you say, the front end is extremely aerodynamic, but did you pick that body because it was just laying in the backyard and you had to do something with it? Or was there some aerodynamics included in it?
The rules in the class that we chose to build this car in The car originally had to be a four-passenger car. And from the firewall forward, you can do anything you want to modify the body shape.
But the firewall back,
the only thing you can do is chop the top. And this car is 49 inches wide. 49. So there's not too many four-passenger cars that are 49 inches wide.
Except the Honda 600.
Yes, yeah, so that was our goal, trying to punch the smallest hole in the air.
Right. Did you go look for a 600?
Yes, I did.
Specifically?
Yes. So you, I mean, I looked at a lot of cars trying to find the smallest car.
Yeah, with a tape measure, I
yes, might add. Yes, and that was the one that I decided we wanted to go with, and we searched around and found one.
Did you look at him like he was crazy?
Well, yeah, when we first brought it home, my neighbors were going, "What? You want to do what?
You're gonna stuff what in that car?"
Because you used to be behind the wheel.
Oh, I drove for many years, yes.
But not this particular car.
When we first got this car, I did some test runs to see how it handled.
Just shake it out a little bit.
I've driven the car a few times, okay, yes. All right. Yes.
Back when you were here in March, you had been recently retired. Are we still in that phase?
Well, I don't know how retired. I go in there most of the time.
I was going to say, what do you mean by retired? Oh, he doesn't get a paycheck.
How about it?
That's what retirement is at our age.
No, I was running a nostalgia top fuel dragster for the last 15 or more years, mm-hmm. and we sold that car recently. Mm-hmm. So it looks like I'm retired from my drag racing.
At least for the time being.
Yes.
Until something else new comes up. So you're going to take a run over to... Now, how far is Mirage from here?
Mirage is in the high desert up near Palmdale area, Lancaster, Palmdale area.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's where it is.
That's not bad.
You know, that's basically where hot rodding started, was the dry lakes of Southern California.
Good thing it's not windy up there.
Every day.
You've been there before, huh?
Willow Springs.
Okay.
Never been to Mirage, which I'm definitely going to make a pilgrimage up there, but... God, it is so windy up there. Now, does the wind blow in your favor or against you?
It can.
It can go in any direction.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yep, any direction. Sometimes you'll get an El Mirage horsepower with some tailwind, but...
Very rarely, probably.
Yep.
You were going to say?
Oh, yeah, the El Mirage horsepower, yeah.
Is that what you call it?
When the wind's blowing the right way, it can set a lot of records. When it blows the right way, a lot more records are set.
Oh, really? Sure. Well, yes. Yeah, it makes sense. It's either a headwind or a tailwind. Yeah,
correct. And if you're, if you're knocking on the door, on a 2 miles an hour or whatever off a record, that tailwind can make a big difference.
I could just see you guys out there. You're working on the car and you're setting it up, and all of a sudden the wind changes. Oh,
go,
Jesus!
Go, go, go!
No, we got to go back and change it all around.
Put it in line. Put it in line.
Yeah,
let's
put
go.
It in line. Yeah. Oh, wait, it's changed again. Pull it out. Yeah. Pull it out. Yeah, and that's dirt.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yep.
What's better, dirt or salt?
I actually think you get a little bit better traction on the dirt.
I would think so.
The fastest anyone's ever gone at a sanctioned event at El Mirage is just over 300 miles an hour.
Okay.
There's about four cars that have done that.
Right.
And it's a mile and 3/10 is mm-hmm. what they give you to accelerate to the time.
What's it either end for runoff and
that's about the same distance for a runoff.
Okay, so you're dealing with three, four miles versus.
Yes.
Eight, was it Bonneville? Eight?
Eight or nine, ten, 11. It can all be different.
What about tires? Do you run different tires on dirt than you would asphalt?
No, we run the same tire.
Right. Are they sanctioned?
Yes, they're a land speed tire.
Yeah, he's got shoe polish. He puts them on there so they stay up to standards.
Yeah.
I mean, DOT shoe polish.
No, if you're not careful, you can go through a set of tires in one run.
Well, yeah.
So, $900 a tire.
How much?
$900 a tire.
Is that if you can get it?
Yes, exactly.
At one point in time, it was a real tough thing to do. Now, the Goodyear came on board, and they make some, and the Mickey Thompson Tire Company makes some tires. There's a few people making them. At one point in time, that was a tough thing to do.
What was your choice? What's your choice of tires?
The Goodyear tires, what we run on a car right now.
Okay.
It's the tallest one that they make for high-speed tires.
How tall is the car?
Tire?
No, the car.
The car is 42 inches.
Well, the motor now is taller, so now the motor is now 43. The roof of the car is 42.
And yeah, 43. Over the last year, I came up with a whole new motor combination.
Oh, I see. So you don't care about whether you can see out front.
Right.
You can see a little. You can see the left of the car.
You kind
of
look out the sideways.
Yeah. I mean, his eyes, are they open?
No, not hardly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, there is a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right. right, folks, welcome back to Barona Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment's brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. They just rolled out a new Bronco to a young couple. Boy, they were so happy to get their car. Go to ElCajonMotors.com, ElCajonMotors.com, and thank the team down there, especially Paul Dyke, who races at Barona, for all their support. So we got the dude on the line. Dirt Dude.
What's
up?
Hey.
What's going on, brother?
We also have Todd Salazar.
And we got Todd Salazar as well. Boy, we're really
How you guys doing?
Doing great. How about you, buddy?
Tired.
It must have been a good night if you're tired.
Well, it's been hot, as you know.
Yes, just a tad.
And we've been trying to keep up with, we're kind of changing our watering, how we're prepping the track and all that. So I've been, we have been ripping the track and we've been surface watering it. And last night worked out really well for us.
Do you dream about prepping the track before a race when you're sleeping?
I go in a hot, cold sweat.
Especially during the summer.
No, I think it's at any time that he has to mess. Because, you know, I can't imagine the pressure that's put on you because of every racer that comes to that track, they're expecting perfection. And they don't care about
whether they're first or last.
That's right. They don't care about Mother Nature. They don't care about wind. They don't care about anything. But this track needs to be perfect, and that's a lot of pressure. But you do handle it well, brother. I've never heard anybody say anything negative about track prep. I really haven't.
Well, yesterday we had a flex alert. The power went out, so I have a great group of guys that helped me. We figured it out, and we had to shut the, we're on a generator power, and the turbo was going out. There was a fuel issue, so I actually had to shut the power down.
Oh no.
And we shut the track lights down, and then we were, you know, communicating with Dirt Dude so that we could explain to people.
Right.
We put people on the track with lights, you know, so it wasn't just dead. And we shut some other lights off in the pits and everything, and I actually had to shut the generator down, and it was a combination of a fuel issue and the a problem with the turbo and the generator.
Oh,
but we got it fixed. It put us back a little bit, and we finished racing it. I think it was 11:06. Is that right, Dirt Dude?
Yeah, it was a little bit after 11 after we got everything done.
That is amazing. Because normally when something like that goes down, you're done for the night. You just call it and send everybody
went out. We had the power issue during the heat races. So almost to the end of the heat races, we had three more heat races left before we went into intermission.
I thought there was one left, but that being said, we conquered,
There was one more division, okay. But we had two heat races for that division, and we had to finish the heat race for the last division we were in.
So, Todd, who figured it out? Because they definitely need the accolades.
Not me. I mean, I'm the only one, thank God, that knows how to shut the generator off and on, and I did not want to shut that thing off. I finally just went for it, and they had the fuel issue fixed in like 30 seconds. So we had shut the track lights off. So they're the metal halide light bulbs.
Right.
So they cooled down. So as soon as we turned the power back on, the track lights went on.
Wow.
And then we had shut other lights off in the pits. So those lights came on, and then we were back in business. So it was a scary situation there for a few minutes.
Just when you think you can't take any more stress, the lights go out.
Right?
Well, hey, you did mention the guy's name that helped you with that whole issue. What was his name?
It was Adam Fox was down there.
Okay.
Albert Pierce, Kenton Pierce. Stoney was there, you know. Trisha was there freaking out going, "What do I do?" And I'm like, "Stay away from me."
Yeah, right. Get away from me.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, it was a stressful few minutes, but so we got it figured out. We're going to look at the turbo, you know, this week and see where we're at.
Yeah.
and just go from there. But the racetrack was incredible. So Ken McCowan, he comes out there. He gets me off the machine so I can go and deal with my other things.
Yeah.
And he does a great job. So Bardo, you know, does the water truck.
Yep.
I do the water truck during the week. And we just bought a new water truck in this off season.
Wow.
And we got it figured out now. We had a couple issues with it. But I think we've got a good program figured out for the winter, for the summer months.
Right.
And we had a fantastic track today. So this morning, we had the track rented out, and we're playing around with some ideas, and I bladed the track off today, and then I'll start watering, you know, for our next race to do our track prep
right
during the top of the week. But we had those modifieds were flying. The dwarf cars were flying. It was a good night of racing. I think the spectators, short of our flex alert, had a great evening, I think.
So let's go to Dirt Dude so he can give us some standings.
Well, just real quick leading into this about the whole track prep. I mean, it's such a weird thing to work on this track. So we went to the heat races, and it was starting to get powdery in the corners, like 1 and 2, right in the middle of 1 and 2. You know, it looks like it's kind of drying out. We went into intermission, had our break, and the sun went down, it cooled off, and the weirdest thing, the water comes back up out of the ground, and it rehydrated that track, and it was wet and perfect. After the first main event, I walked out on the track, and it was just like the water truck had just went by.
Wow.
It is so weird the way the water just comes up in the afternoon and re-wets that track.
Well, that's good news.
The thing that we have to understand with where we're located is with the billboards, okay?
Right.
The billboards will block the wind and then the shade during the day.
Right.
The direct sunlight is beating on turn 1 and 2. So it kind of, you know, the more work you put into it,
right,
it pays you back, as he said, as it'll come up. So we haven't been blading that intermission. So it's an optical, you know, illusion or however you want it. But the more work you put into it, it pays you back.
I'll be darned. It's funny how you learn every race, huh? Or something new.
Yeah. Well, there's proof that you can teach an old dog new tricks.
You can start barking anytime you like.
And I mean, I'll take the new theories, you know, that we're going with Cocoa Pop Brad at how we're doing it now, but it's less work at not ripping it and then topically watering it. It's working.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm sure the listeners are loving it, you know, the racers that race out there, because that's good. That's good to know, because it's, they know when they come, they've got some consistency to deal with.
The heat is what kills us on the race.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, there's not much we're going to be able to do about it, but it's equal for everybody. That's the main thing.
Yeah, except for the water truck driver with no AC in the truck.
Oh, complain. Somebody bore water on him. He'll be fine.
Results? Yeah. Do we have results?
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
So you got some results? Yeah.
Yes.
Go for it.
Okay. In our junior sprints, Gage Baldwin got a main event win. In our sportsman mini dwarf, Brenton Scott got a main event win. And our Masters Mini Dwarf, Zayden Haynes, got a main event win. On to the big track, Dwarf Cars. Real quick, I got to thank, what do I have for notes? John Harris and RPM Heating and Air, they kicked in $100 or $200 for the total.
Awesome.
For the fastest car for the night. Whoever set the fastest time, it doesn't have to beat the track record, but whoever had the fastest time of the night got $200. Well, Mike Tobiasen took the main event win, and he had the fastest time with like a 15.52. So he was flying around the track last night. And the dwarf cars. On to the next one was IMCA Sport Compacts. Billy Feltz got a main event win. And our IMCA Northern Sport Mods, Christopher Evans got a main event win, and that car was just hooked up and flying. That was a good main event. One of the good main events. Almost all of them were all good main events. On to our pony stocks. Raymond Scott got a main event win, and in our modifieds, Cole Dick got a main event win, and man, he had to hold off Chaz Baca, who comes out of Mesa, Arizona, Michael Think from Campo, Corey Hemphill from Yuma, Marvin Mueller, there was just a group of fast cars, and that was just one of the greatest main events I've seen in a long time. And then our last one of the night was the Hobby Stocks. Thomas Dafferin got a main event win, and he also locked up a series championship for the Hobby Stocks, and he's getting ready to go to Boone. He's going to travel all the way out to Boone. The big race is out there.
Wow. Sounds like a blast. When's the next one?
So the next race is September 3rd. It is the Pure Stock Night. We're featuring 1,000 to win for our Pure Stocks. We're also going to have IMCA Modifieds, IMCA Sport Mods, IMCA Sport Compacts, IMCA Stock Car / Street Stocks, and our Junior Sprints and Mini Dwarfs.
Wow. Sounds like it's going to be an absolute blast. Weather, who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. But
we're starting to get this cooler time now, so it's hopefully just, you know, the weather's going to be good, and we have a few hot days left in the summer, but you know, we're all over the peak of it, I do believe.
Wow. Well, it's time to go jump on that generator, get that thing up to snuff, and then so that sounds like September 2nd is going to be a great, great event, and that's also going to be a late start as well, 7, right?
It's still going to be the same start time, same start time. I don't think we're going to change that yet, but probably should change back to winter here pretty soon, where we start an hour earlier once it starts getting a little bit cooler. I'm sure the fans will like that then, because then we get done an hour earlier. But even with the problems we had for just a generator, we still got done at a normal time where we'd have like a full night.
Yeah.
And what was cool was, you know, I'm like joking with everybody. I'm like, hey, we're going to have to shut off the lights and generator. You guys are going to have to sit here in the dark for, you know, I was 30 minutes that we had for downtime. By the time we got the generator powered down and powered back up, it was 30 minutes. Everyone in the stands was really cool about it. You know, we kept the concession stand still open and powered that for as long as we could. So people just went and got something to eat, and pretty much it was like our intermission break. And
there you go.
Everyone was really cool about it. You know, I mean, not much you can do.
No, you can't.
If you want to complain, call the complaint department on Monday and see what you can get.
Yeah, I'll give you the phone number as soon as I find it.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, you guys did an awesome job. Thank you very much. And again, thanks to El Cajon Ford, because nobody does it better than El Cajon Ford. Take care, guys.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we come back a whole lot more right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, this segment's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Man, I tell you what, if you haven't been to Paris, you really got to go. It is a phenomenal track. They put on the greatest racing ever, and they, especially the Night of Destruction. The rest of it's good, too, but that Night of Destruction is something you'll go watch, and then you'll come home, and you guys will all talk about it driving home, because it's that kind of a show. But I got Scott on the line, and you guys ran last night?
Yeah, we did. We had the it's called California Racers Hall of Fame Night, which we do every year.
Wow.
With some big money added to the purse, actually over the normal purse. These just people who are race fans, race supporters, donated $12,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Louise.
So, you know, we had, it was the sprint cars, USAC CRA, and then we had the modifieds and the young gun sprints and the senior sprints. And all the money, you know, it's the fans for the USAC CRA sprint cars. So we had fast time. Paid $1,000 to be fast qualifier last night.
Wow.
We had a trophy dash. We do speedway motorcycle style where it's done on points and there's 4 3-lap races to determine the winner. Well, the same guy who got $1,000 for winning for being fast qualifier won the trophy dash, Matt McCarthy out of Riverside, who I think you guys have had on the radio before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that was worth another $2,000.
Wow.
That's, and then main event alone, there was $6,000 in lap money. You know, some laps paid $100 to lead. Some laps were lap 7 paid $700 a lead. The guy who led the last lap was it's the only lap he led in the race. He led less than half a lap. That paid $500 extra.
Nice.
So, you know, it was a good night all around. A guy named Charles Davis Jr. from Arizona, nice guy. way back in 1993 was the original CRA Rookie of the Year. He passed Damian Gardner on the last lap to win.
Oh, wow.
And that's after Damian Gardner battled side-by-side with Matt Mitchell. They probably traded the lead back about 20 times in the race. I'm not talking when they crossed the start-finish line because, you know, Damian passed him going into one and Matt Mitchell passed him coming off two, and then going into two, Damian, or into three, Damian passed him again. So it was a spectacular race.
Oh, man.
And like I say, Charles Davis Jr. came from the middle of the pack, methodically worked his way up there, and he passed Damian on the last lap. There's no spring chase. He's one of the nicest guys out there. He's a great, funny guy, and he's going to be 55 years old next month.
What?
And he is just, you know, he's not slowed down one bit.
I'm sure Damian was thrilled.
Yeah.
he was actually, you know, kidding about it.
Well, I think, you know, and I say that, and as I said it, I thought this thought. One thing you can say about Damian is if you race him clean and real competitive, I think he's thrilled because that's what he's out there for. He likes that, you know, toe-to-toe, you know, type of a racing where you pass me, I pass you. I think he was probably grinning.
Well, first of all, Charles Davis Jr. didn't race him toe-to-toe. And he didn't have to race him clean because when he got to him, he just blew by him like he did everybody else in the field.
Yeah, that's even worse. I was trying.
No, he was.
I was trying to be nice.
Damian was having fun with it after the race.
Charles
Gatz, he had a nasty crash back east a couple months ago. We hadn't seen him in a couple months. And first thing when Chris Holt asked Damian Gardner what he thought about that, and he goes, I thought he was still hurt.
Well, if he was, he wasn't hurt enough. That seems to be the problem. Wow.
That was cool. You know, Damian still trying to one more win. He becomes the all-time leading driver in USAC CRA, back to the 50s.
Wow.
With the original CRA to SCRA, USAC CRA. He'll be the all-time winner, his next victory. And he started on the outside of the front row.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at that point in time, I think half the people in the grandstands, well, more than half the people in the grandstands, thought the race was over because he was going to be too hard to beat. But like I say, him and Matt Mitchell.
Wow.
They had a great battle. A totally clean battle, too. You know, they never touched each other. It was a really good race all around.
I know.
And we had in our young guns class, we only had two cars, which we've had one. It's, you know, young guns, you tell mom and dad, hey, I want to race sprint cars. It's like, okay, how do we get into it? Well, write a check for $30,000 to start. But we had a girl come down who's been racing in Central California, never been there before. Alexa Herrera, her father raced. He raced in the main last night with four sprint cars. She won her first time down there.
Yay.
And our senior sprints, a great story. This guy, Richard McCormick, an ex-stuntman, he lives in a town called Seligman, Arizona, with about three other people, I think. Actually, it's like 400 people out in the middle of nowhere. I didn't know this till this week. I was doing some research on him. I thought it was near Mojave. No, he's out in the middle of Arizona. He leaves on Saturday morning, drives to the racetrack in Paris, races. As soon as it's over, he doesn't stay. Mm-mm. He turns around and drives straight back home, and he's telling Chris Holt it's like a 20-hour day.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, he made a payoff. He won the senior main for the fourth time in five races this year.
Nice.
And a guy from Bakersfield named Austin Kiefer beat Alyssa Smith, who is his girlfriend, to win the modified main event.
Alyssa's back out. That's
good. She's out there. Beautiful car, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she'd been out, I want to say a month and a half, two months after she got shaken up pretty bad in a crash at Bakersfield.
Yeah, it's good she's
and
back.
And actually, the car is her father's car.
Oh, is it? Okay.
All right. Her car got pretty torn up, so her father, good people.
Yeah.
You know, her dad stepped aside and had her car wrapped, and she's driving that now. And drove to a second place finish the first
time. That's awesome. I think A.J. Bender was out there, too.
Yeah, he was out there. He wasn't his typical night, I'd say. I think he finished, I want to say, 6th to 8th.
Yeah, that's not typical for him.
No. Right? I didn't see results, so I thought, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he finished, I want to say, 6th to 8th. It wasn't his best night.
Right.
He's saving it for Chili Bowl.
That happens to everybody, you know. He's going to run next time the sprint cars are there. at Paris, we're going to have Brent Sexton's group, the Lightning Sprints, are coming up the Powereye Southwest Series.
Oh, wow.
And AJ really doesn't race in that series when he races at Lightning Sprints. He races with the California Lightning Sprint cars. But he's going to race both the 410, and he'll race the Lightning Sprint that he's won at least three races in this year in the Lightning Sprint side.
Wow. Sounds like that's – and when is that race?
That one's September 17th, this coming week. For the first time in a long time, almost 3 months, we've got a regular stock car show coming back with the super stocks, the factory stocks, the street stocks. So it's the first time they're going to be back in like 3 months.
Oh, wow. That'll be a great show because those guys and girls, man, they just love getting into it.
I know.
Well, you know, they've been off so long, it should be interesting.
Yeah. That way. Well, bumping and scraping.
Hey, you think there'll be a little bit of pent up enthusiasm, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, there's not a lot of guys or places for the guys to go race. You know, the guys don't travel much like they used to. And I'm not talking just the past 2 years with gasoline. Yeah. You know, people don't travel like they used to in racing. Right.
I wonder why that is. What do you think?
It puzzles me. I mean, you figure how close we are to Barona. And when we're not running, very, very few of our guys get onto Barona. And when Barona's not running, when Barona's not running, we are, very few of their guys come up around with us.
I know.
You know, it used to be like that. Man, I've grown up in the Midwest. You know, if your track wasn't running, the next track was 500 miles away, which it wasn't because there were so many tracks back there when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You went to wherever the race was.
And
that just doesn't happen anymore.
And you can't say it's not the purse. Because look at last night. That's insane the amount of money you guys gave away.
Yeah, I mean, well, we didn't give away. I mean, we gave away the regular purse. I mean, all that credit goes to the fans.
Well, I know, but still,
the ones who donated the money.
Right.
Holt's the one who managed the whole deal, so a big thank you to him as well. I mean, he handles that every year.
Absolutely, but my point is, with that much money on the table, I don't care who donated it. You know, you would have thought you would have drivers from all around the state, Nevada, Arizona.
I would have been happy with just the regulars. You know, we had 20 cars last month. We had 21 last night, and seven of the cars who were there last month were not there.
Hmm.
You know, for varying reasons.
Sure.
You know, somebody said to me last night, it's like, man, the car counts sure suck these days. I go, what are you talking about? You look all around the country. I just watched NHRA. They couldn't get full fields in funny car top
field
this week.
Yeah.
You think of the Indianapolis 500. How many cars used to enter Indy?
Yeah.
You'd have 70, 80 cars there. Now, you know, they're scraping to get teams to come so they can fill a full field. NASCAR, you'd have 50, 60 cars. It's like that in all forms of racing.
Yeah.
You know, people don't look out of their own little nook and understand that it's like that in all forms of racing. In my opinion, racing just priced itself out of the ballpark.
I was just going to say.
I was biting my tongue, but I was thinking that too.
Well, and not only that, you go to the races, it's like going to a professional football or baseball game. You know, except for tracks like Barona and Paris, you go to the big tracks, you know, you're going to spend an arm and a leg first for tickets, second food, any kind of beverage. I mean, it's, especially if you take a family of four, it's not cheap. And advertisers are just not putting the money out that it takes to build, you know, a competitive whatever. I don't even pick your sport because the competition aspect of it is so expensive today. It's ridiculous.
Well, that all goes back to me. But you go back to the late 1970s, and all of a sudden, you know, people built their cars in their garages, you know, machined their parts in their garages for the most part. And then the late 1970s, you know, all of a sudden, everybody started buying their stuff off the shelves.
Right.
You know, and it's got to the point now, I mean, you look at a sprint car. How much stuff is homemade on a sprint car anymore?
Yeah.
Almost nothing.
Well, and look,
you know,
what,
and you're
what's
buying all that stuff off the shelves. You know, we saw a guy crash a car last night pretty hard in qualifying. You know, and it's like Chris Holt asked him, the guy just eyeballing the car. You know, the engine was fine. I think the rear end was fine too, possibly, but the guy's going, that's like $15,000 right there.
And look how much a motor costs for those things.
$60,000. You know, people used to go even as far as 10 years ago. Well, you buy a 360. They're not expensive. You run them all year.
Right.
That's how it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, a brand new 360 engine is about $4,000 or $5,000 cheaper than a 410.
Wow. And wasn't there a program with a crate motor for those guys that was pretty inexpensive? But did that program fall by the wayside?
Well, Don tried, you know, the plan was to start it last year.
Right.
And it's still on the table as far as I know.
All right.
The problem is why we haven't. They can't get the blocks.
I know a guy that's got blocks. I'm only joking.
Well, this is a factory deal.
Yeah, no, I got you.
The factory does not have enough, cannot get enough engine or blocks.
It's insane.
You know?
All right, buddy. It's always great talking to you. Glad you had a good night. Next race again, September 7th?
No, it's the next race of the stock car race this coming Saturday.
That's right.
August 27th.
All right, folks. Be there. Be square. You can get the tickets online, but get up there and have the time of your life. Thanks, buddy. You have a good one.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a whole lot more Racer Radio with Rick and Brad White. On FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Racer Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This is the auto power segment.
Yeah.
For all you folks there looking for a roll bar.
Restraints.
Well, I guess you sell all kinds of equipment. I mean, not just making roll bars. I mean, you sell
basically,
nets.
Basically, we manufacture roll bars and roll cages for sports car guys, road race stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make, I have a sewing deal. We make seat belts and window nets and things like that for all different forms of racing.
Okay. Yep. No driving suits, no shoes, no underwear.
No, all that stuff comes from China. And so
no.
Everything that we do at my shop, we manufacture.
All our driving. Even K1 speed or K1 gear, that comes from China?
I think all that stuff does, yes.
Sad.
Yeah, they put their own brand name on it, but that's where everything comes
Certified from. Car Clinic pays the bills. Got to talk about them. 11370 North Woodside Avenue. Not only do they work on it, but they can also dyno it. Check them out at certifiedcarcare.net. All right, so you... Yes, dear.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. Do have a question.
Ladies first.
Oh, thank you. So since you've been in, you went to El Mirage, you went to Bonneville, and you're still able to do the short track truck racing well?
Yeah, I had a truck race, the Moore Series, up in Glen Helen in the first weekend of July.
Wow.
What size truck?
It's the truck itself, it's considered a 1400 class, so it's the only real rules are it's steel cab and working doors. And so I have a supercharged V6 Toyota truck with an I-beam suspension on it.
Oh, okay.
Wow, but how many hours are in your day?
Oh,
do you have 24 like the rest of us?
between the work and, you know, running the cars and prepping the cars and working second jobs to afford all the racing stuff, it's a lot of long days.
You have a second job on top of it?
Oh, yes. I move safes, actually.
You move safe.
Wow. Yeah.
That's why they have equipment, right?
Yeah, some of it. But a lot of it's manual labor, too. But
good. Gun safes or?
Everything, yes. Bank safes, vault safes, gun safes.
Did you put the safe? I don't know. You're not old enough, but Steve Cushman, when he built that BMW and Jaguar dealership in Kearny Mesa, and he bought a safe out of San Francisco. And he said he paid more money having that one installed than the door was like a feather, but the door was like 5 feet thick. So that's the kind of stuff you do.
That and gun safes and everything, you know, in between.
Too much lifting for me.
You're a busy man. Yeah. I wanted to ask, and I thought there's no way he has time to race that truck as well. And then you kind of slid that in a conversation earlier.
And also, I have two daughters I raise and a wonderful wife that, you know, helps support it all.
Do they ever see you when the sun's up?
Not too often. No.
But he's got pictures.
Yeah.
He just puts pictures around the house so they don't forget.
Wow.
So who sponsors your truck?
Auto Power.
Yeah.
Well, you just have too much money.
We're doing okay. We're having a lot of fun. And
that's the main thing.
We're enjoying life.
And it's a father-son thing. How beautiful is that?
It's very good. I mean, I did the same thing with my dad growing up, too, and everything, too.
Did you really?
So, yeah. And So it's all worked out very well for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're blessed for sure.
Our whole team is mainly composed of family, you know, between uncles and cousins, and it's so when we go racing, it's more like a family reunion, really.
Do the daughters show any interest of being behind the wheel?
They're very supportive, you know, not behind the wheel so
you're
much.
You're hoping they're not going to get behind.
Right. That's right, exactly.
We've already spent too much money, girls.
Those juniors are expensive.
So yeah, let me get you something that will keep you occupied.
Yeah, something cheap like a horse or something.
No. Do like I did. I bought my wife 42 statues of horses before she finally figured out we're not getting a horse. You said you had 5 employees that have been there 20 years plus?
Yes.
Wow. They must like their boss.
That's all of us down there, yes. Yeah. You know, my shop's down near the sports arena, and I've been in the building since 73.
Wow.
And we've slowly expanded. I used to rent part of it out, and now we've pretty much taken most of it over. Rent a little bit out, but
take
most of it over. And
wow.
And, things have been pretty good for us. That's
a feather in your cap. You know, bosses, you know, you could tell about a boss as far as the longevity of his people. Okay. And it's not because you're paying them $30,000 a week. No, that's not what it is at all. It's they love what they do. They love coming to work for you. And I know you don't want to take any credit for it. But I'm telling you, as an old service manager for 30 years working at nothing but terrible dealerships, I appreciate an employer that can keep his people as long as you have and not have to worry about turnover.
Well, then I appreciate good employees.
Of course, you take care of them.
That's worth something. Yes, it is.
What about this guy? Is he any good?
Most of the time.
Ooh. Ooh. Now, you will remember that, right?
That's right.
Well, yeah. I was giving you race days
I see you're writing that down on a piece of paper. Yeah. So. But so you're going to go, are you going to try to go back to Bonneville next year?
Oh, we're definitely going to go next year.
No hesitation.
We might even go back a month from now. There's another race scheduled the end of September.
Really?
But
we'll see
the way the weather's been, it doesn't look too likely. But there's a date scheduled up there.
No kidding.
Yes.
Is it because it rained out?
Or? No, it's one that's been on the books. They usually have about 3 or 4 scheduled events a year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's only the main one was one that we missed.
Right.
Bonneville Speed Week. That's the biggest event out of all of them.
Right. Do they give you your money back?
Yeah, I think we're going to get some kind of refund. Yeah, okay. I think we will get something back.
Even though it's not their fault.
Yeah.
No, it's not their fault. And they spent a lot of money.
Oh, heck yeah.
To do this whole thing. Oh, yeah. They have to survey the course and drag it and lay it out.
And SCTA, you got to hire all those guys to come in and all the equipment
stuff.
To do the measuring.
Yeah.
And so, that stuff could have gotten, didn't any of it get damaged due to the
I don't think so. I mean,
if it did, it's already prepared to survive salt.
That's what it's made to do.
Because it's not the first time it's flooded.
That's right. Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about Mirage for a moment, if I might. For general public to go, is there a fee to go watch the race, or can you, or is it no charge?
You have to buy a BLM pass.
Okay.
Oh. So it's on BLM land. So you go by the ranger station, you buy a day pass.
There's a ranger station right next to the lake bed.
No kidding.
You go right there and you can buy a pass.
That's got to be inexpensive.
Yeah, I think it's
$15,
$15
I think,
or something like that for a carload.
I can't believe the BLM is still letting people do that.
I know, right?
I battle with them in the first hour when we're doing our off-road show, let me tell you. But, you know, I mean, they're generating funds, and they're out there a lot, right?
Yes.
I was reading up about going and watching, and they said make sure to cover up, and that the sun is very reflects and goes up, short shorts. Like several posts were saying,
what?
Cover up.
On the salt flats.
Yeah,
because you get the Bonneville. Yes, not the dirt.
Don't wear short shorts. Was the message I kept seeing over and over.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Well, you'd never catch me in short shorts.
Because spectating it seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Same thing with Bonneville.
Same thing. Bonneville, they do charge. The organization does charge. I think it's $50 for the week pass.
Oh, for a week?
For a week, yeah. For Speed Week.
Yeah, wow. But, you know, but if you're thinking about going, you need to start making your plans today as far as hotel rooms. And
You know, it's right on the Nevada-Utah border, so there's some pretty big casinos there. So there's quite a few rooms.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes.
Well, I remember the fastest Indian, and it looked to me like it was one motel.
Yeah, back in those days. But we've progressed on.
Is that place still there?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is. Yep.
I bet they have a Burt Monroe room.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I'm glad to see that you guys took this with a grain of salt.
I know. I was happy. I was hesitant to call.
It wasn't going to do you any good to be depressed and angry and upset, right?
No, it doesn't. And it just put our looking forward to the next event. And kind of concentrate on trying to do something at El Mirage instead of Bonneville this time around.
Yes.
See where we go
so
from there.
So when you write your book, this is just another page in the book.
It's part of racing.
So yeah, that's amazing. Well, you know, and the sad thing, I guess, is the fact that you just thought you had this car totally dialed in.
Yeah, you even passed tech, you said.
Passed tech, and then the course was actually looking very good. From the 2 to the 5 mile, the course was really smooth and really hard, and it was really looking good to putting down some big numbers, I think.
So do the tech guys, could they stop laughing while they were teching your car because it's a Honda?
It's hardly a Honda, as we call it.
Yeah. Oh, hardly a Honda. That's ought to be painted on the side. I'm serious. Because I'm sure they look at you like, how many Honda 600s have ever gone to Bonneville?
Not very many.
If any.
Yeah, just kind of my imagination on thinking what I could do with a car like that.
Boy, that guy has no memory problem. Not if he can think up stuff like that.
I know.
But you need to paint on the side, hardly
Honda. Yep.
And then I'll send it to Honda. They'll get a kick out of it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Beautiful blue color, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, the whole car.
The whole thing is pretty striking.
Any sponsors besides Auto Power to send some love to?
Yeah, we have a few. Crower Parts, they always help us out and give us some good high-quality parts.
Sure.
They help us out. And Mazir up in Escondido helps us out with things.
Okay.
And a lot of different people around the country.
Yeah. Sean at Quality Powder Coating helps us out with a lot of powder coating issues.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't do
Old Town Mexican Cafe. And we have a few different people helping us out.
He has a food sponsor.
That's awesome.
Yes, we do.
I am yelling at young drivers, get a food sponsor.
Yes.
Yeah, especially if they serve margaritas.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, then you can't sponsor margaritas until after.
Afterwards.
Yeah. No, he's been our fuel sponsor the last couple of years.
Oh, that's huge.
So he'll buy us a drum of alcohol or some nitro or something.
Get it? Yeah. Margaritas, fuel.
Yeah.
Margaritas, fuel.
Guys, we love having you in. You're never not invited. Just get with the kid. And when you go to Mirage, maybe we'll have you come back. And we still got to drag that thing to KUSI TV.
Yeah.
Is the patio big enough?
Yes. After you clean all the wheel bearings and all the salt out of the vehicle.
Hopefully we'll come back with a Dirty 2 El Mirage hat. Get that record at 240 miles an hour.
Oh, I want to see that. Club. Yes. Absolutely. And did you hear how he washes his truck?
The sprinklers.
Yeah, he pulls it on the lawn. The guy is so innovative. Don't touch that dial, folks. Gun Owners Radio right around the corner. FM 96.1 AM 1170. The answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.